We are the largest university system of its kind in the world, and we're not going to use your textbooks in our system unless you give us discounts, give our students discounts, you can achieve some savings. We've done that on two campuses. Savings of $300,000 on one, almost $400,000 on the other.
And how you bring it to scale across all campuses?
We're going to bring it to scale across the system, and we will have that done within a year.
Okay, thank you. Another question. Some daunting statistics which often don't get enough attention in my view, and it relates to the fact that we have 100,000 K-12 teachers over the age of 50, many eligible for retirement. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the other side of the statistical ledger, the enrollment in both private and public teacher preparation programs in California declined by about 50% over the last decade. The state itself has been issuing about 40% fewer credentials now than we were in 2003-04. At the same time, we have a significant high school dropout problem, mm-hmm. and a lot of debate about curriculum and pedagogy. Mm-hmm. My personal view is that we ought to be teaching rigorous courses in high school that are taught in much more applied ways towards career pathways. Mm-hmm. My question for you, Mr. Chairman, is are you satisfied with the current state of the CSU teacher preparation programs? And if not, what ought we be doing to make them better?
The answer to the first part of your question is no, I'm not satisfied. When I assumed the chairmanship of the board, I announced to my colleagues that there were three issues that would command my attention in large measure while I was chair of the board. The first one had to do with transfer. We were operating in a system in California that was absolutely unacceptable, in my judgment, with respect to transfers. And with the help of one of your colleagues, Senator Padilla, we got a bill introduced to set up a new way of dealing with transfers.
Correct.
So we made progress in that area. Second area that I was concerned about was one of remediation. We had a process in this state where if a student, even though it met the eligibility requirements to come into our system, if they didn't pass at a higher enough level on the math test or the English test when they arrived, that they had to take remediation courses, and up to a year they could be taking non-credit courses. I think that is unacceptable. I believe that we can remediate students in an intensive way in 6 weeks. And so I sponsored a policy in the board to try to make that happen. It looks like that we're making good progress on that. We'll know at the end of this year whether or not that's working.
Teacher preparation.
The third area was teacher preparation. I look at situations where I'm told that students come to university unprepared to read or to write or sometimes to think, and the students get blamed. And I don't accept that. We produce about two-thirds of all of the teachers in this state. I have not been convinced that we are preparing them to be effective in the teaching and learning process that they engage once they leave our institutions. I am further convinced that we have lived in a society more recently that has argued that in order to be somebody, you had to have a college BA degree. I don't accept that logic. I think that we can do or should do a much better job in the educational process at the K-12 level with the teachers that we prepare to have economic education, work education as part of the curriculum, as part of, just as you have concerns about A to G, you ought to have concerns about how to expose students maybe through internships, through courseworks, to the world of work and achievement. And I believe that it is possible to do that. It will be a little longer haul because now we're not just talking about what we do, but what the Credentialing Commission does. I happened to be in the hallway yesterday leaving this building. I met the lady who's in charge of credentialing, and I said, we need to talk. And we will talk next week.
Very good. Let's hear from witnesses in support of the nominee, please.
Could I ask one question?
Senator Alquist had a follow-up question.
On a different note, and I'll
yes.
be brief, I wanted to ask about the question. It's got to do with student access. I understand two things. One, in order for a student to speak at your Board of Trustees meeting, they have to sign up 2 days in advance. I want to address that and see if there are ways that that can be changed, because I don't know that many 19-year-olds who are going to think 48 hours in advance to sign on to come over to a specific building and sign on the dotted line in order to make public comment at your meeting. And then the other thing I understand is that you do not webcast your meetings. And certainly with this age of technology and with students, I think students would really appreciate being able to see that.
I believe the second one is not correct. I believe we webcast
okay. you do?
All of our sessions at the board.
Okay.
I believe that
well,
is
then
true.
My information's wrong. But on the first.
On the first
yeah,
one.
Yeah, on the 48 hours.
We not only ask students, we ask anyone who wishes to address the board to give us early announcements about their interest and the area that they wish to speak on. There was some concern about that at the last meeting. The issue came up, and I pointed out to the person who raised the issue that in the 2 years that I have chaired the board, except on one occasion, has no one who wished to address the board not been permitted to do so, even though we ask that they sign up in advance. Providing the opportunity is there, I call them to speak.
So, but you still do request that they, I understand that most of the time you are able to allow them
yes.
at the last minute to speak, but my thought really is it possible to change the policy? 48 hours seems quite large for students. And the other piece of it, or else is there a way to do it with technology that online they can just say, we want to speak at the meeting?
Let me back you up on this. If that is the policy, I think that should be changed. I mean, we don't have, we're the state senate here. We don't have a 48-hour requirement for any person to come
and
on
here, have the policy
to
here.
this this room here and to be able to testify or yay or nay or any of the nominees.
Yeah.
That could be, I could imagine that being chilling on a 19-year-old who would say, well, geez, they might not even show up in the first place. I get you're gracious and that you'll allow anybody to talk, but that's a, if that is the policy, that's a bit of a weird, that's a bit of a weird policy.
It is the policy, Mr. Chairman, and I can only say to you that it is one that I inherited, and I always think there's a learning opportunity in every encounter in my life, and I will learn something about this one.
Thank you. Good. Okay, let's hear from witnesses in support of the nominee, please.
Mr. Chairman and members, Steve Juarez on behalf of the UC Office of the President. It's a rare occasion, I would admit, when we come up to speak on behalf of one of the other segments nominees, but I want to tell you, I think it's wholly appropriate given the collaborative spirit that Mr. Carter has created and the collaborative environment that we share with him as well as community colleges and CSU, and for that reason we think he is very worthy of your support and wish him well. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other witnesses in support. Assemblymember Bradford, Senator De Leon did welcome you. If you want to testify, you're more than welcome, of course. Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, members of the community, my name is Mike Reynolds. I'm with the California State Conference of the NAACP. We're here in support of Mr. Carter today for the Board of the Trustees of the California
CSU Trustees. Very good.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Other witnesses in support. Assembly member, welcome to the Senate Rules Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. I'm just here to lend my support to Dr. Carter. He's an individual that I've known for pretty close to 30 years. I was one of those impressionable young students at Cal State Dominguez Hills during his interim as president, and he helped guide me through my senior year as well as direct me as I was doing my paralegal studies there. So I know his commitment to education. I know his commitment to the student body and overall goals and objectives that this committee is concerned about as we deal with the fiscal challenges here. I know that's at the forefront of the activity that he's going to do as a trustee, and I think we're well served to have Dr. Carter in this capacity, so I'm here to support.
Mr. Chair, I just want to underscore it. I was told that Mr. Bradford was a troubled young person before Dr. Carter took him under his wing and became a disciple.
Let the record reflect. Very good. Are there any witnesses in opposition? Okay. Let me make a suggestion about how we handle the next few minutes. Chair Carter's 365th day is February the 29th. I look forward to enthusiastically supporting your confirmation. I appreciate your candor, especially as it comes to admitting a mistake that doesn't always happen in the way that you express so in public life. I also just appreciated your thoughtfulness around a whole wide range of issues. I would prefer, given the importance of this position, that we see if the committee itself can, and we may or may not be able to, get to a place where this nomination could pass out of committee unanimously. I'm not sure that that's the case today. And it may not be the case today, may not be the case next week. But I would like to put it over for a week for just you don't have to come back, for 2 weeks. Okay, which would put us to February the 15th. The committee will then take up the nomination. Again, I intend to support it. That will give us a couple of weeks to just have some more conversation and see if we can come to a consensus. If not, then we can, but that'll be the 15th, which will leave plenty of time then to get to our Senate floor well before the 29th of February. All right.
I have one word.
Of course.
Let me just say how much I appreciate what you've done and what you do, and how much I appreciate your openness to the conversations that we've had over the last couple of days, and for some of us who have had conversations that go back a while. I have a great deal of respect for you, and I know better than most of you think the challenges that you face. I'm not here to create more problems for you. I want to help you solve them.
Thank you very much. And we always say the confirmation process should not be the end of your relationship with the individual members of the legislature or with the branch itself, but really hopefully the beginning. So we'll put this off till the 15th of February. We'll come back for a vote, again, for vote only.
And I do not have to come back.
You do not have to come back.
Okay, thank you.
And we will go from there. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Carter. Chair Carter, very good. All right, let's see if we can get through the remainder of the agenda. Are there any issues with items 3 through 16? Number 16, you said? Okay, then let's take up items 3 through 15.
Do you want to add 1 to that, item 1 as well?
Yes, I'm sorry, the reference of bills. Item 1, then 3 through 15. Is there a motion since we haven't had one today?
So moved.
Moved by Senator Fuller. Please call the roll.
Senators Ahlquist?
Aye.
Ahlquist, aye. De Leon?
Aye.
De Leon, aye. Fuller?
Aye.
Fuller, aye. Dutton? Dutton, aye. Steinberg?
Aye.
Steinberg,
that
aye.
That passes 5-0. And item 16, is there anything in particular, Senator Dutton?
Yeah. Explain what my concern is on that, and I'm probably going to abstain, is the resolution in question ends up making some assertions that my understanding isn't true. It makes reference in the language. It says that it kind of infers that if you get the HPV vaccination that somehow there's a guarantee you're not going to get cancer, and that's just not true. And that's the way the resolution's written, it almost like it implies that. And so that was the reason for my concern when I read it. is just that I'm, so I'd have to abstain on it, but, so that was my concern about it.
I'm sorry, can you point me again to the line, to the page?
It's, I think it's in, towards the last, where therefore, what, I can't remember, I don't have the actual resolution, I can't find it. It's the last resolve, it says that the legislature encourages prompt access to preventative services, including pass mirrors. I'm sorry, it's, yeah, it's the second resolve that says the legislature encourages prompt access to preventative services, including pap smears, HPV vaccinations, and high-quality medical care and treatment. My understanding that the reference to the emphasis being placed on HPV vaccinations, there's no real proof that that is going to be, it's almost like it's assuring that if you do this, that you're not going to have a problem, and that's the reason why I've got a problem.
I'm not sure that, I read it the same way, but...
I just wanted to explain to the committee why I was going to abstain.
Fair enough, sir. Let's, we'll have a motion for Senator Alquist. Let's call the roll on the measure. Thank you.
Senators Alquist?
Aye.
Alquist, aye. DeLeon?
Aye.
DeLeon, aye. Fuller? Dutton? Steinberg?
Aye.
Steinberg, aye.
That passes 3-0. Thank you. Is there any executive session? Anything else to come before us? If not, I thank you all for your patience. It was a lengthy hearing, but I thought it was productive. We'll stand in adjournment.